John chapter 5. We'll read verses 39 to 47. John chapter 5, verses 39 to 47. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Father, thank thee for thy word. We pray that thou wouldst bless it as we look into it at this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Making faith impossible. In our study in the previous portion of this chapter, you remember verses 30 to 39, we studied the encouragements to faith and how the Lord Jesus there sought to encourage the Pharisees in giving them every encouragement that he could, every way possible of motivating them to believe, motivating them to accept what he was saying, to believe in him. And he sought to help them believe, to encourage them in this. And then as we reach this portion, beginning in verse 39, and going on to the end of the chapter, we find a real contrast to what we saw in the previous section. Rather than encouragements to faith and encouragements to believe and helping men to believe, we find in this section, for example, beginning in verse 40, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Their refusal of belief. Verse 43, "I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not." Once again, rejection. Verse 44, "How can ye believe?" Verse 47, "If ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" And so we see that all of the help that Jesus sought to give them in the previous section was for some reason nullified, and they were in a position of not being able to believe. Something was very definitely hindering their belief. And as we look into this, we find that there was something that was making faith impossible for them. And looking through this portion, we find there's one theme that goes through, and that is the theme of human honor or human glory. For example, beginning in verse 41, Jesus says, "I receive not honor from men." In other words, Jesus had no human honor. Now, the word honor there, doxa, actually in most parts of the New Testament is translated glory. Only in two places in John where it is translated honor, but otherwise all throughout the New Testament is translated glory. And so we could easily substitute here also the word glory to give us a better understanding of what this means. The idea of human honor, human glory. This is the equivalent of the Hebrew word, kavod, in the Greek Old Testament, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. The common word used there to translate the Hebrew word is the word doxa that we have here in the New Testament. And the Hebrew word glory or honor refers to that which makes one impressive or demand recognition. And the idea then could be radiance from one standpoint. Then often the other standpoint would be reputation. And so we get an idea of the fullness of the meaning of this word. Of glory or radiance or reputation or honor or even perhaps prestige. That which is which makes one impressive. And here in this idea of human honor, that which makes one impressive in the eyes of men. that which demands recognition then in the eyes of men, or from the standpoint of divine honor, divine glory, would be that which makes one impressive in the eyes of God, or that which demands recognition in the eyes of God. We have this word used also in Matthew 4 and verse 8, where Satan is tempting the Lord Jesus, and he takes him up and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. We have this very same word, the glory, or the honor, or the prestige, the reputation of this world. And Jesus then says to Satan, "Get thee hence. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And Jesus, therefore, rejected the human honor that would have made him instantly successful. It would have made him king right away. And he rejected that. He refused it. And he says here, "I receive not honor from men." And in verse 43, he gives the same impression, "I am come in my Father's name." In other words, he rejected the honor of men, and he rejoiced in the glory of his Father. He had only the honor, the glory, the reputation of his Father, and his only desire was to have the honor of his Father, to have the glory of his Father, and to bring glory to his Father. And this was his desire. And so Jesus had no human honor. Then in contrast, we find in this portion that the Jews had no appreciation for divine honor. And Jesus says to them very clearly in verse 42, "I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you." And the idea there is love for God. Love for God, for the person of God, and for the things of God. And Jesus is expressing the fact that they had no appreciation at all for the honor that God gives, the glory, the reputation, the radiance that God the Father would give. They had no appreciation for that. The love for God and for the things of God was not in them. And for that reason, then, they were unable to appreciate Jesus because he lacked the very thing that they most highly prized. Jesus had no human honor, and they had no appreciation for divine honor. That meant there was nothing in him that they appreciated. And as they looked at him, they despised him because he lacked that which they most highly prized. And he had that which they despised. And Jesus, in verses 43 and 44, tells them how they welcome human glory. He says, "I am come in my Father's name," the glory, honor of his Father, "and ye receive me not." You don't appreciate that. "If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive." One coming in his own name would be coming in human honor. Because he would come in his own name, he would honor himself. He would honor himself and he would receive human honor. And Jesus said, you would receive that gladly. You would think that's wonderful. Look at this wonderful man, this wonderful teacher, this wonderful prophet. Anybody that would come in his own name that would have human glory, you would think that was wonderful. They would appreciate that because that person then would have that which they most appreciated. And he would not have that which they most despised. Divine glory and divine honor. And so they would welcome the human honor and the human glory. Then the question comes, well, how was it then that they honored Moses? If they so eagerly received human honor and had no interest in divine honor, wasn't Moses a man who honored God? Well, that's true. But even their fanatical allegiance to Moses was due to the fact that they had projected back to him human honor and human glory as a great historical leader. And so they looked back, they projected human glory back to Moses. By their day, Moses was a great leader, And they could glory in that. There was a great leader. They gloried in his memories. But they had no appreciation and no real concept of his message. And as they read Moses, they had a veil over their eyes. They didn't really understand Moses. They gloried in Moses as a historical leader. They did not glory in the message that he communicated to them in Scripture. And this was the same thing regarding the prophets. You remember the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees on another occasion, Matthew 23:29. He says, "You are those who build the tombs of the prophets, and you testify against yourselves that you're the children of those who stoned the prophets." And so Jesus says, as you build these tombs to the prophets, and as you give glory and honor to the prophets, you aren't really honoring the message that they brought. You are just honoring the historical remembrance of them. But you're witnessing against yourselves and testifying that you are the children of the very men who stoned those prophets because of their message. Those prophets were not honored in their day because their message was strong and it was to the point and to the face of the people, and they couldn't take it. But once the prophets were dead, once they had died, then they could give them all kinds of human glory, and they could rejoice in that human glory. And so Jesus says, that's how come you can glory in Moses and in the prophets. Had the Pharisees, had the Jews sought divine glory through the message of Moses, then when Jesus had come, they would have recognized Jesus and would have appreciated his message and his person. Because the entire Pentateuch, the entire Old Testament, is built on Jesus Christ. The subject of the entire Old Testament scripture is Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 27, we read that the Lord Jesus said to his disciples there on the road to Emmaus, "Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." And the words there, "concerning himself," are identical to what we have here in John chapter 6, where he tells that Moses wrote of me, or concerning me. And so Jesus is the subject of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ. And if they had known through the message of the prophets the person of the Messiah, when Jesus came, they would have recognized him. And there were many who did recognize him, but they didn't know him through the writings of Moses, and so they did not recognize him when he came. That's why in John chapter 7 and verse 52, Jesus had said here in John chapter 5 to the Pharisees, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and there they which testify of me." They were used to searching the scriptures. In fact, in John 7:52, Nicodemus implied that Jesus might be the Messiah, the Jews said to him, "Search and see that no prophet cometh out of Galilee." The Jews were accustomed to searching Scripture. And this is what they told Nicodemus to do. "You won't find any prophet coming out of Galilee." They were accustomed to looking into Scripture. But they were accustomed into looking into Scripture for all kinds of proof texts, rather than looking into Scripture for God's message for their hearts. And as a result, they had not found Jesus in the Old Testament, in spite of the fact that he was the central theme of the entire inspired account. And so their failure was not a failure of searching the Scriptures. They did that. Their failure was one in believing what Scripture said. In fact, in Matthew chapter 2, we have the account in verses 1 to 11 of the coming of the wise men from the east. And they came and they asked Herod the king, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" And Herod was all upset. And so Herod began asking around, "What is this business of the king of the Jews?" He was the king, and he wasn't in any mood for turning his kingdom over to anybody else. And we read that all Jerusalem was upset. All Jerusalem was troubled And Herod asked the Jews, what about this? And the wise men were there and they said, where is he? And we read that the chief priests and the scribes came up with the answer. They said that the Christ would be born in Bethlehem. And so the wise men then, they were happy with that, and they left, and they went down to Bethlehem to find the Christ. And you wonder, what happened to all those Jews? What happened to all the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests? They had just given the answer. They had heard the report that somebody was looking for the King of the Jews. They had given the answer themselves, that's where you have to go, you have to go to Bethlehem. We don't read about any of them going down there. Because for them, the Old Testament was just a book of proof texts. Just things that to pick out what was convenient for them. They weren't interested in the Messiah that was proclaimed in the Old Testament. And so all Jerusalem was troubled, but nobody bothered to go down there and find out who this was and what was going on, to follow the wise men and to see, is the Christ here? They could have had the same joy that the shepherds had, as the shepherds were worshipped alongside the Messiah. But Jesus didn't fit into their concept of greatness, and so they weren't interested. They were looking for a man of the world. They were looking for one who had human honor and glory. And so they were concerned about the glory of this world and the little kingdom that they had, and that nobody rocked their boat, and so they weren't interested in this Messiah. In verse 47 in John chapter 5, Jesus says, if you believe not his writings, Moses' writings, how shall you believe my words? And so Jesus is saying here to these Pharisees, if you didn't believe what Moses wrote, even though you put a halo of glory around him as being your historical leader, if you still don't even believe what he wrote, then how are you going to believe what I say, since you have no respect for me at all? You have a high respect for the historical Moses, and you don't believe what he says. You have no honor for me, no respect for me. How are you going to believe then what I am saying to you? A message that lacked the human-oriented prestige that was so important for them. Thirdly, we find that human honor attracts the natural man. One thing that is told us regarding the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4 is that he will be one who exalts himself. And exalting himself, he will be giving himself human honor. He will be one who will receive human honor and will give human honor and glory. Jesus in John chapter 7 and verse 18 says, he that from himself speaks, his own glory seeks. Jesus said, I don't speak of myself. I don't speak from myself. The Father is the one who bears witness of me. He says, the one who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. And this is what the Pharisees prized. The natural man is attracted to the one who seeks his own glory. The world will go after him because they prize the human honor that he gives and that he receives. This is the same thing that's back of salvation by works. Salvation by works is merely a willingness to accept human honor and glory, an attempt to justify oneself on the basis of human honor. And in fact, all false religions, all religions except the one of Scripture of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, all other religions are based on a works salvation, and they cater to human glory and human honor. And that's the reason they so easily attract the multitudes. The temple of Diana was full. The hundreds of thousands of people that would come to Ephesus to worship the goddess Diana And over here, Paul, in this little school of Tyrannus, Paul had his group of believers that he was teaching. Say, Paul, what's the matter? Here you got this little group of believers in the school of Tyrannus, and look at there, the temple of Dinan is full. And Paul says, well, he says, the way they do it is that they cater to human aspirations of glory and human honor. And so the temple of Diana will always be full because it agrees with human nature and human aspirations of glorifying the creature more than the Creator, as Paul tells us in Romans 1:25. If we are willing to glorify the creature more than the Creator, then we will have no problem attracting the natural man, because human honor attracts him. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 27, we read, more are the children of the desolate than of she which hath an husband. Teaching us once again that those who worship God in spirit and in truth, those who reject human honor, those who desire and seek only the honor that comes from God, are in the minority. Because more are the children of the desolate, the one that doesn't have a husband, Hagar, than of the one that has a husband, of Sarah, the one who gave birth by faith to Isaac. And so false religions flourish because they cater to human glory. And it's true even today, even a gospel-preaching church today that is willing to cater to human honor and human glory will prosper, because human nature loves that kind of approach, loves that kind of honor and glory. On the contrary, we find that divine honor repels the natural man. That's the offense of the cross. We sing, in the cross of Christ I glory. And yet that's the cross that repels the natural man. That which greatly honors God is that which repels the natural man. Jesus in John chapter 7, verses 51 and 66, is talking to the Jews there about himself and his coming death. He's going to give his life. And Jesus there talks about giving his flesh for the life of the world. And you know what we read? Right after he teaches them one of the most marvelous truths of the gospel, that we live by faith in Jesus Christ, as he taught them this through the illustration of giving his flesh for the life of the world, we read that many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, as long as it looked like he was going to be a big name with a lot of fame and lots of human honor and glory, the multitudes were there. But when he starts talking about that which gives the greatest honor and glory to God the Father, when he starts talking about divine glory and honor, we find that the multitudes leave him. They walk no more with him. Till finally he even had to say to his chosen disciples, to the 12, are you going to go also? Now, Peter didn't say, oh no, you know, we would take you above anybody or anything. You know what he said? He said, where else would we go? In other words, I wonder if he wasn't contemplating if there was anything else any better. And he looked around and decided there wasn't. But it was really a slow choice, because divine honor repels the natural heart, the natural man. Jesus was despised and rejected of men because the human heart despises and rejects divine glory. In Scripture, as we read the accounts of Scripture, we find that aside from the harvest that Jesus that was reaped as a result of Jesus' ministry on the day of Pentecost, we had 3,000 that were saved. Generally speaking, down through the ages, the Church of Jesus Christ continues to be a small, despised group, and to actually seek the honor and glory of God, rather than just saying so, will turn off the fleshly following. Jesus said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me," in Matthew 7 and verse 6. Now, a man can shout, "This is for the glory of God. Let's do this for the glory of God." And he can shout loud and long that this is for the glory of God, and the crowd will follow. But when he really begins to mean it, and determines that indeed all that he does and says will be only for the glory of God, will only seek divine honor and glory, that's when the crowd begins to leave. To follow the historical Moses is fine, as long as you don't press his teachings. Just as today, following the historical Jesus is really quite a favorite thing. As long as you don't press his teachings, and as long as you don't determine that all human glory has to go. If you're willing to receive glory from men and willing to give glory to men, then you will be assured of a great following. Then fifthly, human glory corrupts men. We find in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, one of our well-known verses, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, we fail to appropriate the glory of God. We fail to seek the glory of God, the glory that comes from God. And the reason is that we are willing to accept human glory. And that's wherein we sin. And so all have sinned and come short of God's glory because we're busy accepting and giving human glory. In John chapter 7 and verse 18, Jesus says, "He that from himself speaks, his own glory seeks. But he that seeks the glory of him that sent him, he is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." Now that means that he that seeks his own glory will fall into untruthfulness. Because Jesus says here very specifically, "He that seeks the glory of him that sent him is true." That means that he that seeks the glory of man will fall into untruthfulness. I don't know if that's where we get evangelistically speaking or not, but this is the temptation. Falling into untruthfulness if we seek the glory of man rather than the glory of God. Seeking our own glory leads to untruthfulness. And secondly, not only he is true, but no unrighteousness is in him. That means that seeking human honor and human glory will lead us into unrighteousness. It will lead us into the trap of any means to gain the end. No matter what I do, it's for the glory of God, then it's all right. And this is one of the traps then that we fall into if we seek the honor of men. We seek human honor. This, I believe, would be in the category also of peer pressure. The pressure of the honor that men give that then cause men to make decisions that are very unwise, that cause young people today, the peer pressure is so strong, and it causes young people to fall into unrighteousness because there is the desire for the approval, the honor of men, the approval of their peers. And so it causes them to fall into unrighteousness and unwillingness to stand alone. And the only way we are able to stand alone in the face of peer pressure, pressure of those around us, this isn't young people alone, but older people as well, sometimes on the job and in the business, the trap of doing what everybody's doing, falling into unrighteousness, is because we are willing to receive honor from men, rather than determining that we shall only accept the honor that comes from God. We're willing to stand alone then because we only want God's honor and God's glory. And then seeking human honor makes faith impossible. Verse 44, Jesus says, "How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only, or perhaps a better translation, the honor that cometh from the only God, the only true God. Jesus says to them, how can you believe? It's impossible. You can't believe. You cannot believe God if you want man's honor. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul says, do I seek to please men? If so, then I'm no longer the servant of Christ. Paul says, if my desire is human honor, then I am not going to be able to honor God. And if I seek to please men, I will no longer be the servant of Christ, because I will no longer seek His honor and His glory. In Luke chapter 16, verses 13 and 15, let's read that. It's a tremendous admonition in this matter of human honor and human glory. Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. They made fun of him, of what he was saying. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. And the opposite is true. That which is highly esteemed by God is abomination in the sight of men. That means, then, if I seek the glory that comes from men, I will not be able to believe God or to please God. What God wants to do, if I desire the honor, glory from men, if I esteem that which men esteem, then that which God wants to do will always seem to me to be the wrong thing, or else the wrong time. And so I won't be able to trust Him. How am I going to believe Him to do something if I'm not convinced that that's what ought to be done, or if this is the time to do it? I won't be able to believe Him. And I won't believe that it's the thing to be done if I cater to human glory, because what He wants done caters to divine glory. And so I'll just find I'll never be able to trust God. I can't do it. If, in spite of what I say, I want human honor and human glory, I'll find myself unable to trust God. Now, if in spite of saying that I want God's glory, I'm still oriented to human glory and human honor and human prestige, it'll still be impossible for me to believe God. It's very easy to say that we want God's glory and not really want it. If I'm really not interested in what God wants to do and when He wants to do it, then I'll find it impossible to trust Him to do that. And so if my goals are supposedly in His name, supposedly for His glory, but are really out to build me a name and build me honor and build prestige for me, then the only way I'm going to accomplish that is just to get out and work hard and do it, because I'll never be able to trust God for it, because I'll never have the assurance that that's what He wants to do. And I won't be able to trust Him for what He wants to do, because I won't be sure that that's what I want done. And so there will be a complete inability to trust God, and as a result, God says, the whole thing will just be an abomination to God. Receiving human glory and human honor makes faith impossible. And so Jesus says to the Pharisees, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from the only true God? Do you know what Jesus said to Martha and to Mary there at the graveside? Which one did He say it to? Martha or Mary? Said I not unto you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. And so that means that as we set aside human honor and glory and seek only that honor that cometh from the only true God and are able to believe Him, then we will see Him bring divine honor and divine glory into our lives. Then the result is what we read in the first epistle of John. This is the victory that overcometh the world with all of its human prestige and honor and glory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we bow in prayer. Father, we hardly know how to look at a portion like this because we recognize that we are so brainwashed. We are so oriented to human honor and glory and prestige that it's difficult for us to see even when our motives are not right. And when we are accepting the honor and glory and prestige of this world rather than that glory which comes from the only true God, Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst make us discerning, that we might see clearly and quickly this line that sometimes is so fuzzy between thinking that we're doing something for the glory of God and doing it because we want only Thy honor when we're fooling ourselves. We pray that You would give us discernment to see clearly and determination that by Thy grace we shall do nothing to attract the human heart to seek human honor. By Thy grace, our testimony shall be that of the Lord Jesus. I receive not honor of men, but that the desire of our heart shall be to receive only that honor that comes from Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.